Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman. Okay, so I'm going to say hello, welcome. Season two, Steve.
Yeah, wow. Season two, we're here.
Yeah, it happened so quick.
What a journey we had.
Mm. It's only five episodes, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a short stroll.
It was.
And this one is more like a... like
half marathon.
A half marathon. It's half not marathon. A full marathon. I wasn't going to say sprint.
Yeah. But it's good. It's sort of easy. Seinfeld eases you in to the whole 22 episode season structure.
Yeah.
Breaks you in slowly and mirthfully. Mirthfully, because Seinfeld makes me laugh. So we are, as ever, we're watching this on Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. where it is available. As a note for season two, we are going to be watching it as shown on Amazon Prime rather than as seen on TV. So yes. We believe that Amazon have arranged the episodes by the dates they were filmed in.
Yeah, for season two, it looks a lot like production order.
Yeah, rather than the order they aired in, which is the order they appear on the DVDs. We know because we checked. We did.
There was a little bit of mold panic this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. You did your concern, didn't it, Steve? And that's understandable.
I did.
Because we want to bring the very best Seinfeld product available amongst all of the other Seinfeld product available.
Yes.
Yeah. We if not the creme de la creme, certainly I don't know, the toasted almonds of the soup.
Mm.
I assume creme de la creme's referring to soup. We'll talk about soup another time.
All right.
On Hello Newman.
But now a crouton.
No soup for you, Steve. Oh, I went early, Steve. I went early. Oh, it's gone again.
Oh, Amazon, behave yourself.
Yeah, we're on Amazon Prime, and my fingers aren't working very well. But the counter is all the zeros.
It is now. I can verify
and
this.
Off we go. A little bit of traffic humour to start with from Jerry. A little bit of traffic stand-up.
Yeah.
I've never understood road humour. I don't drive, so I'm not allowed to understand road humour.
There's something relatable, though, with the line thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're at a supermarket and you pick a particular aisle.
Yeah.
Well, not an aisle, but, you know, a checkout. Queue at a checkout. And then you see the one to your left or right going faster.
Yeah. It's devastating.
It's very tempting to swap. But you could be that lane swapper in front of...
It's true, maybe. His observations are very relatable
as long as you drive and live in America,
but it's
in the 90s.
It's his charming incredulity.
Yes.
I don't know why that's suddenly an insight for me. I've been watching this for 20 years and all of a sudden it's just occurred to me that the key to Jerry Seinfeld's humour is the incredulity.
So he was talking about traffic.
Yes.
And here we are in a car.
Yeah.
So see how that works.
Yeah, it's clever. It's almost like the show is about a comedian and his experiences inform his stand-up.
Hmm.
So George is breaking up with the girlfriend.
So another breakup story there. Because the last episode, or the episode two ago, the breakup... Mel and Bonding.
Yes.
Had some stuff about him and
that's true.
And his girlfriend at the time.
George is often uncoupling, as I'm sure you'll find out as we watch through these. But it's always enjoyable finding out the reasons why George has decided.
And it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's never George's fault.
No.
How could it possibly be? It's their flaws, not his neuroses. But Jerry's such an enabler. I don't think ultimately Jerry's good for George's mental health.
No.
He's far too happy to hold his hand down the garden path and skip off merrily into the distance with him.
They kind of enable each other though, don't they?
They do. They're terrible people.
Oh, I see.
They have to go to the chiropractor because that's a situation that could occur.
It is.
I see how these are working. Now I'm watching them for a podcast. Definitely find my analysis of the story structure is keener than ever.
So they double parked here.
I think they might. Yeah, they are. Because you can clearly see
the traffic going past them. So they must be double parked.
They're not conscientious people.
No.
It's interesting observing Jerry's car here, which looks like, I don't know, a sort of battered, I don't know what, Oldsmobile, Chrysler sort of car. It looks like...
The face I'm pulling doesn't come across on audio, but I don't really know.
But it's notable that in later seasons, Jerry's car's always... Because Jerry Seinfeld...
It moves at least.
It does move, which is good. But Jerry Seinfeld obviously is a big Porsche enthusiast, so you'll see... like Porsche posters up in the background of the flat and so forth, but I think he has various like BMWs, a Saab maybe,
Poxy Saab,
something to look out for in future episodes. A bit like the Macintosh computers,
of which there may be an update in a little while. Actually,
I enjoy Elaine's neuroses here about because this is it's all about. Because obviously the material itself is observational. The characters are observational characters.
Mm-hmm.
I totally know the situation she's talking about where you start with hellos and the relationship degrades to the point of nods and grunts or eventual just blanking. But
it can often happen with neighbours, actually. Yeah.
But if don't you think it feels very Larry David in so much as...
get hung up on it.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm was very much about that, and all of his characters acted at the point where most rational people would just choose to let it go or fester like a boil forever.
So you can see the Macintosh there in the background.
I do, yeah.
It's the same one. It's still the SE.
He hadn't upgraded.
And this is only 6 months on.
Mm.
From that first short season.
Should he have been thinking of upgrading at that time?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No?
He'd probably get another year in that at least, I would have thought.
And he'd pretty much be using that exclusively at this point for word processing.
Yeah.
There's no porn happening on that.
Well, no.
No.
Not unless it's being exchanged on floppy disks.
Yeah. Or unless someone's left maybe a Playboy lent up against it.
It was all paper based back then, wasn't it?
A man
of his stature would have probably bought it instead of finding it on a branch in a park.
True.
Yeah.
I wonder how close they were to Central Park. Kramer's fruit obsession is something that will run and run throughout Seinfeld. I have to say, Kramer's actually a pretty clean living guy. We've seen him as a bit of a slob previously, but here he's coming, he's eating fruit, he's dressed, he's clean. He clearly leaves the house. He's become less of a recluse and more of an enigma.
Yeah, he's still a bit of an odd guy, but he's very presentable here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Kramer's whole thing is he's charming. I love this. I love the glee in managing to end that relationship. it's good because of how George feels. The glee he sustains in his eyes throughout this is outstanding. Jason Alexander's an excellent actor, as they all are. But have you noticed that in this episode so far, you think about the scenes we've had so far, all of the characters have the lines and have the laughs. Jerry has a couple of feeds and he has a couple of zingers occasionally. But all of the acting in these early episodes are still being done by the cast around it. But it's what makes it still feel very different from any sort of star vehicle comedies even now. Is it allows you to have four breathing characters?
That.
Mm. The lips
fascinated me.
Mm.
That just that little detail there fascinated me. Jerry having a crack at Kramer for eating noisily.
Yeah.
Because nothing about that gets called back on or referred to in this episode. Just that.
So it's clearly something that had upset Jerry Seinfeld in real life or Larry David to the point where they decide it probably happened like during a lunchtime. But they both of them, their ability to look at the world slightly askew is consistently remarkable.
But the Jerry points it out in a very direct way. Mm. Can you stop that lip smacking?
Yeah. They have no filters, do they?
No.
That's the great thing.
And I mean, you could have handed that to a script editor and they would have said, that's pointless. Why is that in there? Yeah. But it's in there.
And it's funny. Now, this actress, Amy Yazbek, who had a career, I looked on IMDb, her career seems to be mainly in the soaps, but an actress that kept working, good for her, good career. That voice, man.
Well, George got the impression right earlier on.
She
does have a slight, not so much of a slight, but a southern drawl there.
I find it beguiling. I love how cliched she is. She's drinking iced tea.
I hadn't even noticed what she was drinking.
Yeah. She's so incredibly, you know, the New Yorker with like a Coke or a coffee. She's obviously got an iced tea. I'm from the South, y'all. Oh.
Yeah.
Now here's a quandary. Your mates, your best friends, ex-girlfriend wants to be friends with you. But of course, being Jerry Seinfeld, he can't just go, I don't think it's a good idea. George is my friend. That would be a bit weird. No, he that would cause social awkwardness.
How much of his decisions are based on the fact that there could be potential material there? How much is his nose led by what he could write into a show?
Well, now see,
into a stand-up.
I think the reason why I identify it with Seinfeld and the character so much is, for the most part, certainly George and Jerry, their lives are, no, in Elaine too, their lives are ruled by the desire not to have a confrontation.
Yes.
Confrontations happen as a result, but I have very much lived most of my life often trying to avoid confrontation to the detriment of relationships. So it's almost like, in many ways, I think I may have accidentally used Seinfeld as a how-to guide for adulting. But it's still a conversation about nothing. They're just talking about phone conversations and how complicated they can be with certain people. I don't like the
way that they talk about Marlene and her phone conversations here made me think a lot about Mail and Bonding and about Joel.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get rid of someone who, you know, insists on staying around?
It's definitely a preoccupation, isn't it? Yeah. But they come at it from interesting, you're right, but they come at it very interesting angles. So George is in the see his back. I have to say, he's complained about it, but I have to say, I'm not sure entirely he's acting the back at this point. But it's George.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
But I think that's atypical of George. It's a twinge. But he's so neurotic, he obviously has to go to the chiropractor for it. And of course we get some doctor waiting room
comedy. It's actually a decent little piece of material.
It's a very funny piece of material. What do we think of the shirt, tie, jacket combination?
It's funny you mentioned that because I noted down that it was quite a nice suit.
Yeah, it is.
Spotted the Johnny Cochran style tie which he's wearing as well.
And I think it all goes together quite nicely. Collar's a bit big for my taste.
It's a more well-presented Jerry than we've seen
definitely.
In the past.
And I'm not sure...
Maybe had a good year.
I'm not sure... Maybe. I'm not sure double-breasted... Double-breasted looks funny now, doesn't it?
It just makes me think Alan Partridge.
Oh, absolutely. I would have gone with darker trousers or a lighter jacket myself.
Yeah, I mean, we're not looking at a sport coat situation there. I mean, that is clearly...
No, it's a jacket.
A jacket from another suit.
Yeah, but...
I'd need to understand... suit etiquette.
Yeah,
when
does sports
better.
Jacket end and suit jacket
when
begin?
Is it okay to mix the colours, when isn't it? Is that a casual thing, mixing the colours like that?
I don't really know.
How garish can your tie be on certain occasions?
I recently transitioned. It was a long time before we didn't have to wear ties at work, but I recently transitioned into a check shirt and brown jeans situation. I have to say it's been really freeing, Steve.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
Less cutting around the upper thigh region.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. But at this point in the early 90s, it'll be a long time before we're able to free ourselves from the barbarism of the time. Barbarism's not the word I was reaching for. Tyranny. Tyranny's the word I was reaching for. I quite enjoy the fact that we, although we don't know how long he's been in there, the pause that was created by the stand-up leads me to always believe that he's been in there a good 45 minutes. It feels like time has passed. Mm, I imagine if that was an ad bumper, I think that would have probably landed even better, to be honest with you.
That was a very, very short bit, though, just about him being outraged about how much it cost.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is something not good has happened. Jerry's quite a Lothario, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. He's just kind of looking at us slightly dopey and allowing it to happen. Is that a Lothario's job?
No, I think he's a Lothario on the sly. I think he acts all doughy-eyed. But I think inside he's a raging sex guy.
Yeah, and that's where you go to the commercial.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that was very obvious. Ah, right. First time I think we've seen Kramer with a golf club.
Is this a recurring thing?
Golfing will be a recurring thing with the character of Kramer. It's not that bad a swing. It was Larry David, I believe, was the golfer.
Oh, I see. Now that makes sense.
Mm. More cantaloupe.
Yep.
But it's this time we get a substandard cantaloupe rather than the excellent ones.
After Kramer put in a really good pitch for making the extra trip. Three Jones. More blocks would have got you to Joe's.
Yeah.
Half the price, better quality. I'd say it was almost worth the walk, but, you know.
Yeah, but Jerry says it's three blocks. In another episode, they're going to go somewhere and it's only five blocks they're going to walk. How long's a block? That's what I need to know. If we kept the... do you think if we kept the Amazon trivia thing up, it would have told us?
No.
Now I
quite like that moment where the buzzer and the phone rang at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That's quite the message. You have to say, look, I am but a man, Steve. And I have to say, in Jerry's circumstance...
That was a booty call, right?
I think I'd probably be following my more animal instinct. She's got quite the beguiling voice.
Quite the beguiling voice, yeah, yes.
And I hate the beast.
And an attractive lady.
Yeah.
And she's clearly got some magnetism about her.
So the incredulity comes in, because there's a question that pops into my head. What, Steve, do you think she was doing with George?
Mm.
I mean, it's an odd pairing. And he ended it, Steve.
He did.
He ended it. Unbelievable.
Kramer's getting off on this predicament.
Oh,
that little smile he gave a moment ago when he was registering Jerry's discomfort.
But we're starting to explore Kramer's depths.
Exploring the cereal back there.
Yes, definitely. There's the cereal's increasing. But Kramer's becoming more pseudo-philosophical and rather than like the goon in the first five episodes, it feels to me like he's fleshing out as a character. He's a lot more enigmatic, a lot more mysterious now.
That's airplane lamp or novelty dildo? That was the thing that struck me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it plugs in, because they all did back in the early 90s, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Mm. Battery technology, a bit on the weak side. You'd have to put in those big chunky D...
Yeah,
batteries, which you know, all, quite unwieldy for
all batteries,
delicate.
All batteries equipment. Were the size of a fist, which you know, in of itself, could be. Yeah. There's still a
slightly passag way of hinting she wants some cantaloupe.
But how did cantaloupe become a running theme in this episode? You know, where do you, as a writer, you sit down with a blank piece of paper in front of you? Mm, I know. Cantaloupes. They're eating cantaloupes. Of course they are. Great idea. Let's write that down. That is exactly how it happened.
Speaking of the characters taking glee out of taking control over someone else, we had George earlier, and now we've got Elaine confronting this one-time acquaintance.
Yeah.
Saying, basically calling him out on... We used to speak, and then we used to nod, and now you ignore me. Why do you ignore me? Then they acknowledge that neither of them really had any interest in talking to each other anymore. Yeah. But she just had to...
Elaine much more actively...
just getting revenge on him for what?
She so much more actively pursues her anger than... Jerry and George seem to let it seethe.
Yeah, or avoid the confrontation. Yeah, she went straight for it. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, there we go. He said it himself. She is the queen of confrontation. He's probably going to tell him that he's been having sex with his ex-girlfriend.
Probably. He's got another phone that he's going to.
Yeah. Oh, see, yeah, his flat seems to have spawned a bedroom. I'm not sure it had a bedroom in the first series. I agree. How could George not care?
So, George doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm.
Good for Jerry.
Yeah.
All the way through this, though.
Yeah.
George is talking with his mouth full.
Yes.
He was having a pop at Kramer earlier for the lip smacking. Yeah. But yet this is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I really want to know what's behind that.
Yeah. But he's doing it silently. I mean, apart from the noise.
It's not so much the lip smacking, but he's really doing the whole food and talking and bad manner situation. But
do you think the amount of...
Maybe he wouldn't want to, at this moment in time, call George out on it because he just got a little small win.
Can I posit this as a possibility? Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David just wanted to keep the actors eating throughout the episode for their own sadistic amusement.
That's why they've got cantaloupes and salad.
Yeah, instead absolutely.
Of ribs.
Yeah, or like just lard.
But he loses. he's totally fine about Marlene, but gets mad that Jerry paid the rest of the bill.
Oh yeah,
when it comes down to money.
Oh yeah,
George is incredibly sensitive.
Oh no, it sends him crazy. I love immediately reverting to the child because he swallowed a fly. Oh, this is perfect, isn't it? As a punchline for the episode, I felt this was perfect. Because now she gets to be the one who is the vampire.
She's going to try and rip it off like a Band-Aid. That's what she's trying to do.
She is ripping it off like a Band-Aid. Oh, she saw his act. She thinks he's shit. Brilliant. If I went out on a date with Michael McIntyre, this is how it would end for us. It's like,
thanks very much for the meal, but
you're a good looking guy, he probably would make sweet love with you, but his comedy just doesn't hit with me.
I really don't like that line.
You're a cashier. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so he's punching down, isn't it?
Yeah, so punching down, job shaming, and also gets a laugh.
Yeah.
I'm really uncomfortable with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you know what?
But that's Jerry being... I see that as Jerry being a jerk.
Yeah.
More than the general kind of thing that you see in the States where, you know, you improve yourself by working hard and getting a better job. Therefore, if you don't have a particularly well-paying or a well-esteemed job, you must be some kind of a loser.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's just a victim of his own upbringing. He can't help it. He's conditioned, man.
But you're right. It is a good punchline.
He's very funny.
That he does, you know, he's the one that gets broken up with for something that he can't control.
We mustn't forget as well that for the 90s, these four characters are incredibly liberal and progressive.
Yes.
Incredibly so. I mean, it's very unusual for a show to have absolutely no bros in it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's nice.
It's nice. So,
Excuse me.
Season 2, episode 1, episode 6, all told, girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend. God, it's only words, isn't it? What do you think?
That passed really quick, actually.
It did.
That really did fly by.
Is it because I didn't shut up, Steve?
You said it. I've watched it twice today.
Okay.
And it certainly, well, like when we're sitting here watching it together, talking about it, as I said, flies by a lot quicker.
Sure.
And it's interesting to have your reading on it and my reading on it and just taking it on that level. But this wasn't like a laugh out loud funny episode. This was scientifically interesting because of what was going on with the characters.
Yeah.
But isn't something that I doubt in the long history of Seinfeld episodes that this is a particularly standout one.
No.
But in terms of after a 6-month break and starting a longer season, you know, this is basically what would be the second half of a winter season of TV. As something that starts it out, there's definitely enough, again, enough going on in terms of establishing the other characters, who they are, how they relate to each other. Yeah. There's enough going on there. So, I mean, as a welcome back after the first season, it works well. Things, you know, there are big things and small things which, again, follow the pattern of the episodes we've seen so far, where small details and the main kind of crux of the story set up and they get dealt with throughout the course of the episode. You keep returning to them and they get resolved at the end. A really fascinating thing about Kramer's chewing. Is that just a one-off thing, or is it something about how Jerry reacts to Kramer sometimes? I'm really interested in seeing if anything comes out of that.
Sure.
Because it just it's not that it would be easy and maybe slightly lazy to say, oh, I found that jarring, but it is such an obtuse thing to happen in the scene that doesn't go anywhere. Again, it could be nothing, but at the same time, I'm just fascinated by it.
The tone of that relationship has definitely changed between seasons.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There's more, although obviously Jerry gets frustrated with Kramer during the robbery. There's a wearisome frustration, like he's stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. There almost seem to be a bit more warmth between the two of them in the first season than I saw there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But yeah. George gets to be all excited about breaking up with Marlene as some kind of accomplishment for him, regardless of how anyone else felt. And he got to rage about how much the chiropractor costs for what he felt like was very little work.
Yep.
Elaine gets to aggressively enact some revenge on someone who was ignoring her. Jerry then job shames right at the end of the episode. So
punches
there's stuff
right
in
down.
There about them all being jerks.
Oh, they're loathsome.
And yeah, again, after the last season and then coming back to this, it's interesting how the show is doing a good job of keeping that thing going without making them horrible people necessarily.
Yeah.
You know,
they
have their faults, they have their quirks, but they're, you know, there is at least something that keeps you watching about them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go.
Fascinating. That's why
science. This episode to me was science.
Fair enough. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are you fond of science? Do you hate it? You might be one of these people who I know you were espousing some views about how you thought the Earth was flat recently. So
it's flat and round like a disc.
Like a
compact disc from the 1990s.
Why was it you were saying, Steve, you're not allowed to go across the Antarctic? So the army has stopped you or something?
That's right, yeah. It's a conspiracy, you know.
That's a challenge to our listeners. Try and cross the Antarctic.
Yeah. You won't be able to do it because it's too cold.
Yeah, well, he's cold.
I mean, you could wear a coat, yeah. But...
Why would you want...
Why would you have a coat?
Why would you want to go? Why stay somewhere where it's relatively temperate? You can't even
drive there. Yeah. So it's probably not real.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can't drive there, it's... that's empirical fact, Steve.
Yeah.
I think that's us.
Yeah. That'll do.
That's another episode of Hello Newman. Thank you for listening, and bye.
All right, sir.